Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having a new upcoming host, Nicholas Snow. He's going to have a show on BTR, Blog Talk Radio Network. And we're going to talk about a couple of things today in the workplace. One thing we're going to talk about is the views, his personal views and his opinions about the president's mention about gay marriage. Also, the workplace, the effects of having gay marriage or gay couples in a workplace, and how some businesses can, I guess, manage that. But if you'd like to come in and tune in to the conversation, please call in at 347-324-3460. Well, Nicholas, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. I guess, you know, kind of, you know, I was just really thinking, because this is going to be kind of more of an open forum type show. You know, the president's been on the edge, and even though we knew that it will come down the road eventually, that, yeah, he's going to actually support it, but I saw that at the very beginning of the administration, and if they can get the military on one accord, which is one of the most conservative attitudes there are, but they will follow orders. I knew if they got that passed and then now become a policy with recruiting and so forth, then that would just, he eventually will change his opinion. So what's your idea? Were you really surprised when he said, yes, he didn't see any issues with that?
No, Timothy, I'm not surprised. Because my personal belief is that privately, President Obama has favored same-sex marriage for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that he can avoid playing the political game, unfortunately. Now, as a public servant or as anybody that wants to make a difference, we need to ask ourselves what is most important. Is it the end result that is most important, or is it proving ourselves at some point in the process to demonstrate the highest level of perceived integrity? So my opinion is that the reason that Obama waited as long as he did to come out the way he did, so to speak, was because it is important for him to be reelected. In my opinion, as a registered Democrat and as someone who believes in the rights of all people and as someone who believes that the best way to secure a world that's inclusive of everybody, at least within the United States political structure, is through the Democratic Party, then I'm happy that President Obama waited as long as he did, frankly.
Okay, so kind of curb the attacks, and what else is going, wrong, or something like that. But you know, if we're going back, he did have a lot of support at the very beginning of his presidency, and even during the election, he did receive a lot of votes from the gay and lesbian community, and you don't look at getting everything you want, but some things, you know, some curtains have come down. And I think, I would say probably, yes, we have the issues with these states adopting, we're going to allow gay marriage in a particular state. But I think the biggest accomplishment, if you can get the military on board, and a lot of people said, I think, in the military, they really didn't have a problem with it. But I was on the base for 2 years with a contract that I had in the past, and it was kind of mixed feelings. I mean, the Army is one thing, the Navy is one thing, the Coast Guard was another, and when it came to the Marines, they're a little bit more conservative, but they mainly thinking of, well, how can I adapt in a in a shower environment? How can I adapt when I'm on the field? And because the other issue came up with women, because they really didn't want women in combat with them, you know, in hostile environment and dealing with fearing that a woman would break down. But there are some women that would just outbeat the men, you know, that really go out for it. So in seeing that and seeing what we have now, he already took a stand, and it is what it is. We know he probably was saving it towards the very end to show his support. Do you think he got that, mentioned that support, if it wasn't such a, he thinks it's such a close election, or do you think it was coming anyway? Does that make a sense?
I think it was on its way, and that the administration was figuring out how to stand up for what is right with the least amount of collateral damage to what they want to accomplish across the board politically and for humanity. But just to throw in some personal history. I was in college at Arizona State University in 1980. That's when I graduated from high school. I just turned 50 recently. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And in 1983, I actually planned on enlisting in the Air Force because I was frustrated with college, and I also came from a military family. My father was killed in the Air Force in 1972 in a crash, actually, at Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas, which has now become a naval base. At any rate, my father was killed in the Air Force, and my uncle is a retired colonel in the Air Force. So I always say, if my family values are not in accordance with military service, whose are? At any rate, in 1983, I went to enlist in the Air Force, and I had also sort of started my own coming out process, and if I had thought it through, I would have known this would have been the outcome. But when it came to fill out the final paperwork, there was a question on the paperwork at that time that says, do you have any homosexual tendencies? Now, before it ever got to this place in the process, I had scored extremely high on a test, and I had college background. So I would have gone in as an officer, and they were going to train me as a linguist. So I would have had a year of language training, and therefore I would have served an extra year as part of my enlistment. Well, when I answered the question in a split second of honesty, yes, I had homosexual tendencies, the process came to a screeching halt. The recruiting officer that had been very kind was then very cold, and I was out the door. And that was, you know, a turning point in my own life. I ended up going back to college and graduating and had a very different life because of it. Well, fast forward now, and, you know, President Clinton tried his best to at least eliminate the witch hunts that were happening in the military to throw out gays and lesbians and bisexual people who were serving and have served in the military as long as it has existed. He tried to stop the witch hunts with the don't ask, don't tell policy. Going after gay and lesbian service people. So what Obama did with his overturning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was huge, but it also comes on the heels of decades of a gay and lesbian, transgendered, bisexual civil rights movement. So there's a huge amount of history and a huge amount of context. Also, we need to look at who is in the military today. They're very heroic and courageous young people who many of whom have joined the military not only because of their patriotism, but because of the need to have a job, the need to create some sort of career, etc. But this particular group of people in our country, they're educated. They've grown up their entire lives where there have been positive, accurate portrayals of gays and lesbians in the media. So I believe that across the board within the United States military, at the front lines, that same-sex gays and lesbians in the military is basically a non-issue. And so many of them, even under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, knew who their gay and lesbian and bisexual comrades were. And people know. I mean, there is such a thing as gaydar. People know who's gay and who isn't. You don't have to necessarily proclaim it.
Yeah.
So what Obama did was huge. And I'll tell you what is really exciting with Obama's proclamation is how many members of the non-gay and lesbian community have stood up cheering his decision. And it just shows us that more than ever, someone's sexual orientation is a non-issue. And people get that the fight for full equality is about to right to love. One of the other things that I want to add is a specific and personal thank you to you, and cite it as an example of the way that we could tend to stereotype people as to whether or not they're going to like us or be our allies. So you and I have known of each other just a brief period of time, but I know that you're a heterosexual African-American with a religious education. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you're fairly young. So I'm going to, if I'm gonna stereotype you, I'm going to think, okay, as a younger African-American heterosexual with a religious education, you're not going to be my ally or my advocate, and in fact, you could very well be my foe. Well, that's a stereotype, and I'm also not stating that by having me on your show, you necessarily agree with my views of the world. But nevertheless, you've provided me with this platform to discuss the issues, and you're willing to raise the conversation for a to participate. So I think that's particularly spectacular. And in the days and weeks since Obama's announcement, so many people are coming forward with their support in places that you wouldn't expect it to be, including, for example, major leaders within the African-American churches across the country. So the lesson in this is that we never know who really loves and supports us and believes in equality. The reverse is true. There may be people who are not us to our faces, but they very well could be homophobic or racist or sexist or classist.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you really look at it, and I guess if you look at it globally, you know, it's a lot of it's kind of looking at a 30-year picture from 1980. I remember 1980. You look at where we are today. I didn't realize we would be where we are today. But even the attitudes from generation to generation has changed. People, this new generation is more have better tolerance. And because one thing I was thinking about, for example, when I approached you during the show, and which I hope we can get some information out, is that kid in the classroom And I taught school for about 10 years. And, you know, you have this kid who comes in. I taught elementary. And, you know, we can see we have these little personalities going on here. And then you have this little kid that the little boy is a little bit more feminine than the little girl. And you have vice versa. The little girl will beat some other guy down. And you see this in a kindergarten or a preschool. And then as they come to the third or fourth grade, they know who they are in their hearts, but they don't know how to deal with it. Maybe they get teased sometime. You know, you're still in the 11 playing field. It really doesn't start changing until they get probably in the fourth grade. Then there's some acknowledgement about it, and you get maybe some teasing. But, you know, what can we give to that little child that's now in the sixth grade who's going to be bullied and teased to acknowledge who they are? And case in point, I remember watching The Private Practice about a week ago, and they had the same little thing. They had a little sixth-grade girl who felt like she's a boy inside, and she was coming to terms to that, who she is, but physically she looked like a little girl, and one of the solutions, say, well, let's delay puberty for her. The mother had problems of accepting that. What will you say are resources that you can guide them to when a parent has a child who feel like they're stuck in their own body or trying to acknowledge who they are? How can what advice you have to give to a parent, let them be who they are, not to force them to be this particular way? What advice would you give to a parent that way, and how should they help their child to be who they are, if that's making sense?
Okay, well, I appreciate the question. And one of the things that I wanted to say to you and your listeners is that while I'm not personally an expert on any of the specific topics that we're talking about, but I have almost three decades in the media as an openly gay person, as a media activist. I'm also professionally a journalist. And when I cannot speak to from my own experience, I certainly know where to direct people for more specific answers. But one of the things that I want to say immediately to your question is that there is a difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. So, for example, you could have a young boy who is effeminate. That young effeminate boy could be heterosexual and just not conforming to gender norms. That effeminate boy could be gay and at some point would realize that as he gets older and matures, or that young boy may in fact be in his heart and soul and makeup transgendered and be what we would refer to as a girl trapped in a young boy's body. So gender behavior doesn't necessarily answer these sorts of specific questions about who the person is. But with that said, in the school system, people are bullied for all kinds of reasons, and it doesn't have to simply be about whether or not they're conforming to specific gender behaviors and whether or not they may or may not be gay or lesbian. And one of the, since this is an online program and almost everyone listening to me right now is probably a click away from a website, one of the leading organizations that has brought about these fantastic changes that we're seeing in the world today is the Human Rights Campaign. And their website is hrc.org, stands for the Human Rights Campaign. It's Human Rights Campaign, but the website is hrc.org. And if you go to main page, there's a sub-banner, and one of the drop-down menus is issues. Well, when you look into that particular section, there is a section on parenting, for example. There's a specific, I'll just read them all. There's a coming out, hate crimes, marriage, religion and faith, faith advocacy, workplace, federal advocacy, health, parenting, straight supporters, transgender, and youth and campus. So I'm just going to click on the parenting link, and I'm taken to a page that actually is looking at families that are headed by lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered parents. So that's one of the particular resources that's available here. Now, getting back to your specific question, one of the things that's going on in schools across the country is the appearance of gay and straight alliances that bring together students from all walks of life who want to stand up for acceptance and tolerance and inclusivity and full equality of their classmates who may or not be gay or lesbian.
Nicholas, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. You just went a little dead for a second. So
that's okay.
Okay. So in taking in that that particular resource, what will this that address again?
hrc.org. Fantastic website, and it's filled with resources.
Okay, perfect. It's
the website of the Human Rights Campaign.
What is your views of you know, I have some gay and lesbian friends, and they have mixed views, really. They're really divided on the issue of gay marriage. Well, I thought they would be for gay marriage, and they're actually, it's like half and half. Some say, well, no, they don't. They shouldn't, but they're going to have, any couple is going to have the same dynamics that any other type relationship. It just, part of the game, when you're in a relationship, things are totally different, and it doesn't, it won't make a difference if the person is in a traditional marriage or in a same-sex marriage. What is your opinion regarding that? Either or, I mean, if they're equal, the relationship is a relationship regardless. We're not talking about the institutional marriage itself, but mainly with, if you're side-by-side, the man and woman would have their own dynamics, and it's going to be pretty parallel to the same thing with the same sex. You might have some outside things that are coming into this, but however, side by side, do you think that marriage should be legal in the United States and all states?
Well, I personally do believe that we need federally protected same-sex marriage, and we need it quickly, and there are several reasons for that. Let's use an analogy, and some people resent this analogy because they do not understand the correlation between the African American civil rights movement and the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered civil rights movement. But there was a time when interracial marriage was legal in some states, and it was not legal in other states. And as the law progressed, so interracial couples that wanted to get married actually had to travel to another state to do it. And then ultimately the law progressed where it was deemed that a marriage that was legal in one state had to be legal in every state and take place in every state. And you have situations in the United States where in some places, there's legal domestic partnerships. In other places, like California, same-sex marriage was legal, and then it was illegal, and now we're hoping that it will be legal again. And there's over 2,000 rights and responsibilities that are afforded to married couples that are not afforded to even single heterosexual couples who choose, for whatever reason, not to get married. But When you look at it at its core, one of the huge issues is being able to be with the person that you love. And many same-sex couples are in relationships with people who are not U.S. citizens. They have met people from other countries because of their professions, their careers, because of the travel and tourism, because of the internet, you know, however they met, they are now madly in love, but they cannot be together because of immigration policies. So, for example, I just finished 5.5 years living in Thailand as a foreign correspondent, and I returned to the United States in July. But if you have, and I didn't, I wasn't involved with a Thai person romantically in any serious way, so it didn't come up for me personally. But I know many American gay men who have boyfriends from other countries that would love to be able to be with them, but they can't because their partner cannot get a visa to live in the United States. So immigration is just simply one reason why marriage rights need to be at a federal level. Recently, in the past week, there was a powerful image being shared on Facebook that had members of the KKK at a cross burning, and the headline that went with that photo is, "See what happens when we leave equal rights up to the states." And the point is that if we really are a nation of true equality, we need to make sure that everyone in the nation has true equality. So we can't say, all right, if California allows same-sex couples, but Mississippi doesn't want to, that's fine. That really is unacceptable. And I think that what will happen, my prediction is that within 5 years, we'll have legal, federal, same-sex marriage across the board, if not sooner.
Well, so you think, well, what then, if there is a Republican administration, that will happen?
I don't think there's going to be a Republican administration. I just don't think that, I don't think there has ever been, and I'll tell you what, you know, this is very interesting that you should raise this. Earlier in the show, I probably came across as a raging Democrat, but the reality is I come from generations of Republicans. I'm one of the only Democrats in my family, but I departed from my family's sort of political center in the early 80s when I came out, and we have had decades of a Republican Party that doesn't get equality. They don't get a lot of the issues that are important to me. And what I say to people today is this is not the Republican Party of my grandparents. And you have many wonderful, fabulous, spectacular, loving, humanitarian Republicans, but they don't control their party anymore. What has happened is because of a very strategic, decades-long effort, a stealth effort by the radical religious right, the Republican Party has been taken over and dramatically changed. So the people at the head of the party right now who control it are very much against a woman's right to choose. They're very much against equality for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered couples. And they seem to be very much supporting any underdog in our country. This whole 99% versus 1%, it's not spin, it's reality. And in the context of all of this, especially because Romney is such a flip-flopper and has demonstrated his own hate and bigotry by dramatically coming out against same-sex marriage, saying he will support a federal constitutional amendment that prohibits it, I really believe that Obama will be reelected and that the result...
Yeah, because I agree with you. I don't think it will ever make the Constitution. I lived in D.C. 15 years ago, and I remember underneath of how the fabrics of D.C. works, if you look at San Francisco and you look at D.C., we see what we see on the outside of D.C., but the infrastructure of the city of Washington, D.C., if they go there, I would say it's more, the gay and lesbian community rule D.C., and you might not see it on the surface where we see it here, but if you go to downtown D.C., they will tell you that. And when I first came into that city, all the churches, all the infrastructure is like it's not an underground, but it is a fact that's known that things are being controlled. They have a lot of influence on what goes on in D.C., and they network extremely well. That won't ever make it. But, again, you know, just think about the Mormon religion with Romney. I guess it's like he's really caught in two different worlds because I think he's trying to appeal to the Christians, but however, he's a Mormon, and Christians have issues with that from the very beginning. Do you think, personally, he's going to win over the Christian, the Southern Christians, who have these conservative ideas, because he really doesn't appear to be conservative enough for them.
Well, one of the things I want to say is that, you know, I'm not anti-Christian, and as much as I am not anti all Republicans, and I believe that the majority of Christians are do live Christ-like lives and treat other people as they would like to be treated, but you have these radical Christian elements that have taken over the Republican Party, and that you really have to pander to them if you want to get anywhere within the Republican Party. And I think that Romney he's flip-flopped so many times on so many issues. I don't know if your listeners are aware, but he within Massachusetts said that he would be more supportive of gay and lesbian civil rights than Kennedy ever was.
And I remember that.
And now he's completely flip-flopped, and this is just one of the issues that he's flip-flopped on. I really don't believe that there is a political future for Mitt. I like to say Mitt Romney. Romney. Yes. I believe that's playing out every single day.
Yeah. I respect him as a good business person. He's done well for himself. But it's going to be, you know, really, I would like to see the first Tuesday of November, how things really play out. Is he going to get the momentum?
I want to challenge you on your statement. I mean, you could say someone's a good business person because they made a lot of money, but isn't the better business person someone that figures out a way for the most people involved with a particular business to win? And I think everything about Romney's business strategy is that he's been great about a small group of people getting very, very rich, but he's been very poor about creating policies within his own private business practices that truly empower the economy. I really believe that that someone who practices business the way that Mitt Romney has does a lot more damage to the economy while amassing personal wealth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. In your opinion, for example, with policies regarding businesses, how can they play this in a workplace environment itself? Meaning, if you do have like a situation, have a same-sex couple. You know, when you have a couple in the office and where you have different dynamics, how, in your opinion, how can a business owner make that work for him? In one sense, yes, we have this couple got together. Now we have that. We have a small company, so we just have to go on. What dynamics do you think they need to put in place to say, hey, we need to level this fill out. You know, you understand you're a couple, and it could be any couple. And however, we need to probably just leave the personal part of you outside the door. Just focus on what you're here to do. Does that make sense?
Well, I believe that every person just wants to show up at their job and do their job and do it as well as possible. And that if they're in a gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender friendly workplace, it's going to be a much happier and productive workplace across the board, in my personal opinion. But there's basically two sets of your listeners that I want to reach. I want to reach the employers who are dealing with this issue in their workplace, and I want to reach the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered employees, and basically point them at two resources. If you once again go to the website hrc.org from the sub banner at the top of the website is a drop down menu. One of them is issues. Within that, you can choose workplace. When you go to the workplace page, on the left-hand side of that page, there is a benefits section. There's the Corporate Equality Index, which is the way that Human Rights Campaign has helped advance corporations and their relation to all these issues in their great work. There's an employer resources link and an LGBT employee resources link. But if you click on the employer resources link of this particular page, there is a whole list of possible scenarios and resources and everything. For example, it's an alphabetical order. The workplace resources are in alphabetical order, so one of the first thing that shows up is adoption benefit program.
Just to
scroll down, there's diversity training on sexual orientation and gender identity issues. There's something that's, you know, about marketing to the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered community. How do you retain your lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered employees? Some of the best resources available in the world regarding these issues for both the employee and the employer are available at hrc.org. I want to throw in another personal story here. In the 1990s, I lived in Los Angeles, and I worked at Cedar Sinai Medical Center, and I was already pretty much a gay activist. And the word activist means a lot of different things. For me, it doesn't mean that you're radical or in somebody's face. It means that you're willing to express your truth to the people around you and be as effective as possible in creating the world that you want. But nevertheless, at one point, I sent an email to the senior vice president of human resources at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, and I suggested that we have a gay and lesbian pride observance at the hospital in keeping with Gay Pride Month, because the medical center would observe other groups among its workforce. For example, they would have a Black History Month celebration. So I suggested this, and the senior vice president, Marilyn Sharp, said yes. A group of us got together, and we basically had a great assembly. And out of that, other people met, and then an openly gay person within the Department of Human Resources worked with some of the employees, and over the next year, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center adopted a domestic partnership benefits plan. And this was in the 1990s. And I won't say that I'm responsible for this having taken place, but I was definitely part of it. So the way all of these changes are happening in the workplace and in our churches and in our communities is that individuals who are enlightened about the subject matter reach out to the people they influence. They express their truth. And that's how the change is made.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, this is a great website, and I'm pretty much going to share it with, I think, on a blog and mention it again. I got a lot of resources. What is your other opinion regarding, I guess, around the country? You know, some countries are a little bit more tolerant, like I've been told Canada. Do they have same-sex marriages?
Yes, they have same-sex marriage on a federal level, and there are actually many countries throughout the world that do. And I don't know if you've spent much time out of the United States, but one of the things President Obama is criticized for is there are people think that he has caused America to look weak by apologizing for America's behavior. But outside of the United States, especially after 8 years of the Reagan-Bush and Bush-Cheney, so we're talking now 16 years, but Reagan-Bush, Bush-Cheney influence on not only the United States but the world, America from outside the United States is not viewed very favorably because it seems to demonstrate this need to be the big brother. And I'm not discounting the amazing things that America can do to help people worldwide because of its resources, but I am talking about the atrocities of starting wars that should have never been started and so forth. So the rest of the world, when it comes down to same-sex marriages, at least in countries that are not predominantly influenced by deeply religious beliefs, such as Muslim countries. But the most of the people in the world, they look at America's views on same-sex marriage as being in the dark ages.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's good that you mentioned that. I guess not only we were kind of excited, but the world, because then hopefully they thought America attitudes would begin to change versus being, they don't have a good reputation overseas. Even we give them billions and billions of dollars, they see us as the bully and, you know, we want to take over the world and put our views on them. It's good to see that the administration took a different approach and trying to repair that relationship altogether. Visiting, I think you mentioned in Thailand, top of the hour. Was it Thailand?
I have mentioned Thailand. I lived there for 5.5 years. They do not have same-sex marriage.
Okay. Any other Asia-Pacific countries have same-sex marriages?
No Asia-Pacific countries have same-sex marriage. And I was actually going to go to the section on the Human Rights Campaign's website that would tell me the countries that have same-sex marriage, but my computer has just locked up. Oh, there! It's just freed up. So, you know, I'm off the top of my head, I cannot list all the countries that have same-sex marriage, but the United Kingdom is one of them. And Canada is one of them. I believe a major South American country has recently come out in favor of same-sex marriage. I don't have that on the top of my head. But some countries have had same-sex marriage for decades.
Wow. Well, I guess in closing real quick, your opinions about, you know, the president's views and where we headed as a nation. Are we headed in the future in 5 years that on the federal level there would be gay marriage?
Yes.
Same-sex marriage.
Yes, within the next 5 years on the federal level, I do believe we will have same-sex marriage. And as a media activist, I'm following these issues all the time. My radio show launches July 1st, people can find it at snowbiznow.com, snowbiznow.com. But yes, we're moving toward a brighter future because of President Obama.
Okay. So your show launches, we said, July 1st?
Yes, but I already have 5 YouTube channels with over 1 million views and a lot of content at snowbiznow.com.
Well, I got to take a look at it then. Really appreciate it. And just give us your website address one more time.
It's snowbiznow.com, produced and hosted by Nicholas Snow. My slogan is small screen, big queen, worldwide.
It's cute. Wow. Nicholas, I really appreciate it. It's been a fun 45 minutes, and I appreciate you coming to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Thank you all for listening. Download this episode on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio, on blog.applecapitalgroup. Thank you. Everybody have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.